and it's heaven help us continuing at the head of affairs. Zanny here second, Honeysuckle in third, Echoes and Rain and San Juan second, last and last respectively as they race towards the 6 furlong point.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Happy to have you on board. Also happy to have sponsorship from Gulfstream Park during their championship meet, sponsoring this program. Some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB, we do appreciate the sponsorship and support of Gulfstream Park, again, during their championship meet, which, of course, was evidenced again yesterday with a great card highlighted by the Holy Bull. We'll take a look at that and more as the morning progresses. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Bob Ehalt from the Blood Horse, also writes for America's Best Racing. Bob covered the two New York races yesterday, so we'll talk about those in his segment. Also covered Pegasus last week for the Blood Horse, so we'll get some ideas, some thoughts there. And he previewed the Bob Lewis, which runs later today out at Santa Anita. He previewed that for America's Best Racing, so we'll get some thoughts on the Bob Lewis as well. So plenty of racing action coming up over the next hour, racing conversation. I wanted to start things, though, talking a little Tampa. And let me see if I can quickly pull up the chart. Tampa yesterday, as we were doing the afternoon show, I said, this is just the craziest sequence going, because it was just a parade of long shots after the opener. The first race was logical. The first race, it was a $3.80 winner, but the rest of the day was just absurd. And I just wanted to pull up because I have the other prices here, but I didn't have that early pick four price, which was kind of crazy. Yeah, there we go. So here was the day at Tampa yesterday. Started out with a $3.80 horse. Okay, fair enough. Then two $49 horses in a row. Second and third race, $49. $21, $33, $16, $22, $21, $38, and $19. Meaning it was tough to come up with one, but to string them together. But some lucky soul did it in the early pick five. Strung together the $380 horse, the two $49 horses, $21 horse, and a $33 horse. And it had to be a single ticket. It was a $199,000 pool. And the winning ticket, $169,000 on the 50-cent early pick five yesterday at Tampa. $169,000. Congratulations to that person. Then subsequently, in the next race, they paid off the early pick four, which started. They started differently, that early pick four, depending on how many races. And yesterday, it started in race number three, so it went to race number six. The early pick four, which payoffs of 49, 21, 33, and 16, paid $14,000 for 50 cents. So again, another nice payoff. Then, the reason I bring it up, it was a crazy day. But leading into the late pick four and pick five, and again, the late pick five, which included then the pick four as well, $16, $22, $21, $38, $19 winners. The late pick four, $19,000 for 50 cents. The late pick five, you got $1,489 for four of five, which means that today down at Tampa Bay Downs, there is a carryover in the late pick five. That's why I wanted to bring it up. So if you're a pick five player, and I know over the past few years as the pick fives have appeared around the country. People have taken to the wager, certainly. 50-cent wager, you can jump in. But they'll start things out today down at Tampa in the late pick five with $92,000. $92,000 carryover down at Tampa. And I'm just looking, begins in the fifth race. I'm looking at their Twitter feed, begins in the fifth race today. So keep that in mind, $92,000 carryover, late pick five at Tampa this afternoon. All right, let's jump in and take a look at some of the action from yesterday. Got some of the buyer figures, not all of them, but I do have some of the buyers coming out of yesterday, including in the Holy Bull. I like Mo Donegal. Mo Donegal just didn't seem to get in gear until far too late. Mo Donegal's number three horse goes off as the 8-5 favorite. Number two horse goes off as the 8-5 favorite. The winner is going to be White Abario from Safi Joseph, who had missed some training. And in the post-race article written by Mike Welch, Safi was kind of like, I didn't even know if we were going to make the race. We were maybe, when I missed one work, I thought we're okay. And then we missed two works, and that kind of put us behind the eight ball. So we were maybe going to shoot for Tampa next week. And they, of course, turned out to be doing well. And so we thought we'll take our shot in the Holy Bull. And White Abario under Tyler Gaffleone gets it done pretty easily. The chart margin, 4.5 lengths. White Abario is the number eight horse. Simplification was the second choice at 7-2. A lot of people like that one from Antonio Sano. Simplification, the number four, runs second. And as you will see, look at the seven chicklet. Mo Donegal just has nothing going until really late in the race. And then gets the number two chicklet, excuse me, and then gets going. And you can see Mo Donegal makes it and just comes up short for second. So Todd Pletcher said, you know, I like a nice late run, and so I didn't think it was a bad effort. Hadn't been seen, obviously, since the Remsen victory, so a little bit of a layoff, seasonal debut, maybe up against it given the, you know, first finish line and the way Gulfstream plays, and White Abario had clearly gotten a jump. So, again, with the late run, if you like Mo Donegal, I think you can come up. Until that late run, at about the 16th ball, you're still like, ooh, Mo Donegal. But with the late run, I think you can kind of, if you like them, stay on the bandwagon. Tis the Bomb, talked about that horse yesterday as being the interesting horse in the race for Kenny McPeak. He was coming out of a second-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, had won a couple of turf stakes races just prior, but you know, it's that time of year, you have a talented three-year-old, let's try him on the dirt. Tis the Bomb, a little bit disappointing, running seventh in the field of nine at 9-2. And Ken McPeak in post-race comments said, man, I think we'll give him one more shot on the dirt. I'm not quite sure that defined him today. I'm paraphrasing, but Ken was making the kind of statements that said, we're going to get him one more try on the dirt. And then if he doesn't do well there, we know we have a nice turf horse. But Tis the Bomb, as they said, was interesting coming in with the turf to dirt move out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf race, which was nice. And it's that time of year, again, when you have a three-year-old, you try him on the dirt. Disappointed, but maybe we'll see him with one more shot on the dirt to define one way or the other which way they should go. A little bit earlier on the card, the Swedish Chant. These are three-year-old fillies on the grass. I like Battle Charge. Battle Charge, a little bit disappointing. Running fifth at 6-1. Was kind of in the hunt, but couldn't get it done. And again, Battle Charge, the number eight. So you can see in the mix there. But nice late run from Opalina. Luis Saez on board. You have a nice late run also from Ambitus that yesterday morning on the handicapper support. Brian Addo made that his long shot play. Went off at 9-2. I want to say 6-1 on the morning line. So it came down a point and a half or so. But it was a nice late run from Ambitus for Graham Motion and Mishu Ella in third. Favored in there as a wildly lukewarm 4-1 favorite was Nostalgic. And that one ran last. Bill Mott runner. I kind of surprised. I mean, I was going to say I'm kind of surprised it was a favorite, but at 4-1, the betting public was really having trouble, and that one inches in as the favorite. But nostalgic, Belmont Godolphin runner that had had two races on the dirt, broke the maiden in the debut in October at Belmont, and then tried the Demoiselle and ran fourth behind Nest, both obviously on the dirt. Now comes back in the three-year-old debut and tries the turf. But it was Belmont. I had the horse down at the bottom of my mix, so I thought there was enough there to be interesting. But as I say, the betting public made that one the favorite a little bit. They are the majority of the betting public, perhaps too young to remember Harvey Pack saying, "Never go with the horse that's trying something for the first time." That was seemed to be kind of one of his go-tos, and as they say, maybe the majority of the audience is too young to remember that. Me? No, I remember that. And as I say, it was an interesting scenario with Nostalgic, but I had it at the bottom of my mix, and Nostalgic, you would have to think, I didn't read any post-race comments from Mott, but you would think, that the turf experiment has failed. We'll see what they do next with Nostalgic, but interesting to see a horse that had shown some talent early on the dirt. They gave it a shot on the turf, and now we'll see where they go next with Nostalgic. But as I say, nice win from Opalina in there and a nice run. From Ambitus for Grand Motion is very lightly raced, and that was a good late run, as you saw there. For a minute, kind of threatened to maybe get up, but then you could see Opalina was going to continue. So again, Ambitus and only the third career start, stepping out of maiden company and stakes company. Good performance from that one, and Opalina, already with some stakes experience under the belt, breaks through and gets a stakes win yesterday. Both of those look nice and worth watching on the three-year-old filly turf side of things. All right, let's go a little bit earlier on the card, and the Forward Gal, that was three-year-old fillies sprinting. Radio Days took all the action at 3-5. I was on board, two nice starts so far in the career at Belmont, and Aqueduct for Shug McGahee have been training down at Payson this winter, and Radio Days with the numbers, the buyers, and the two first starts, the two wins, did seem the one to beat. Right underneath that one, though, I had Girl with a Dream, who was coming off of a couple of wins, including a little stakes win over at Fairgrounds last time for Brad Cox. And Girl with a Dream, the number six horse, just got the jump on him, took him all the way around. Luis Saez on board. He said, "Catch me if you can." Radio Days, the number five, is working here and closes the gap nicely late, but does not live up to her 3-5 billing. She comes up short, and at 5-1, Girl with a Dream for Brad Cox, and Luis Saez gets it done. Radio Days, Dylan Davis in town to ride Radio Days. He had ridden the horse to the first two victories up in New York, so they reached out to him and said, "Come on down and jump on board." Winds up second in the three-year-old debut, and Last Leaf at 60-1, the longest shot on the board, completes the try in there. But you got a nice 5-1 on Girl with a Dream if you elected to go in that direction. And to me, she did look very interesting. Gratitude was a horse that was getting a little buzz in there for Todd Pletcher off a couple of nice starts to begin the career, a third, and then broke the maiden last time down at Gulfstream, and it was Todd Pletcher. Gratitude, though, in her stakes debut, a little bit disappointing as the 3-1 second choice. She ran fourth in there. And I did not mention, I said I had some of the buyer figures. White Abario in the Holy Bull. Nice 97, this time of year. I heard Andy Serling, he was talking on the pregame show yesterday in New York, and he kind of was talking about the three-year-old stakes, and he said something to the effect of, you're not going to have to be much to win these three-year-old stakes today because there is nobody who is firing real buyers on the three-year-old scene so far. And we had Jeremy Plonk on yesterday. He does the Countdown to the Crown. And he had said, and if you read Friday's Countdown to the Crown, he had said there were no wow performances yet amongst the three-year-olds this year. And I think that's a fact. When we talked to Withers later, that was a nice performance. And I haven't seen a buyer there yet. But the 97 for White Abario was a decent number. Girl with a Dream got an 86 in the Forward Gal. Let's go a little bit even earlier on the card. Race number 7 yesterday in Florida was the Kitten's Joy. I had the winner down at the bottom of my mix for Todd Pletcher, Grand Sonata, 3-1 on the morning line, went off at 5-1. Coinage took a lot of action. Coinage went off as the 9-5 favorite. I did not use the Mark Cassie runner at all. There was some talent there. Certainly the win in the With Anticipation up at Saratoga was pretty good, but the two subsequent starts to end the two-year-old season were a little bit uninspiring. So I didn't use Coinage. Coinage is the number 2 horse and winds up, you can see on the rail there, kind of in the hunt, but faded to third as Grand Sonata will get up and nip Royal Spirit. I liked Royal Spirit. That was my top pick. And I tell you, just as we picked up that video where we were there and Coinage was kind of fading and Royal Spirit went by, I thought at a nice little 5-1, I had Royal Spirit home. But once Grand Sonata kind of got out and saw some daylight, that was all she wrote. Grand Sonata gets it done. Chart margin's only a neck, as they say. I thought I had it, and then, ooh, just got it. That one at the wire. So Grand Sonata gets it done for Todd Pletcher, Tyler Gaffleone on board. Royal Spirit had Paco Lopez for Todd Pletcher. So it's an all Todd Pletcher exacta. What you want? You wind up with $60 with the Pletcher exacta with a couple logicals. Coinage, as I say, I didn't buy into that. Ran nicely to wind up third there at 9-5, however. So again, it was a Todd Pletcher exacta with Grand Sonata over Royal Spirit in the Kitten's Joy. And then also yesterday on the three-year-old side of things, we had the Swale for three-year-old sprinters. I tilted towards In Dreams, who was coming out of a nice win over at Oaklawn for Brad Cox. In Dreams is going to be the number 5 horse and the second choice at 2-1. The betting public went for My Prankster, the number 1. Todd Pletcher trainee that had won an optional claimer last time at Gulfstream. Yeah, it's Todd Pletcher at Gulfstream with a nice runner, and that one gets up to get it done. My Prankster over Dean Delivers, of a Revolution, third. In Dreams disappoints there. You could see kind of back a ways in fourth as the 2-1 second choice. So the Brad Cox runner, not as good as the earlier Brad Cox runner that we looked at. But My Prankster gets it done. Subsequently, again, this time of year, you have a decent little three-year-old. Todd Pletcher kind of hinted. The post-race article was not committing one way or the other. But he said, yeah, maybe we'll try a little longer with this one. You would think, again, it just sometimes connections just know what they have and they will stick with it. I have a sprinter. We're not going to bother with the experiment. But most of the time, and I can't blame anybody, you get to this time of year, you have a three-year-old that's talented. You win a sprint, graded sprint stake. You think, yeah, okay, we'll try a little longer. And as I say, Todd Pletcher didn't commit really one way or the other, but left the door open to try something a little bit longer with My Prankster. So we'll see where that one goes. And wound up with a decent little 90 buyer as well. So good number for My Prankster yesterday. Wanted to show one more race at Gulfstream yesterday. We talked about it on the Handicappers Report. The ninth race, as Brian Addo and I were talking about it, we said, man, this is a stakes quality race. It was an optional claimer with the C condition, 7 furlongs, but you had some horses in here with bona fide stakes credentials. Candyman Rocket, who won the Sam Davis last year and seemed to have some promise early in the three-year-old season, and it didn't quite work out that way. He was coming back from a May layoff. Soup and Sandwich won an optional claimer at Tampa early last year, then came over and tried the Florida Derby and wound up second. Then poor performance in the Kentucky Derby, tried to come back in October in the Perryville at Keeneland. Didn't show much there, but Soup and Sandwich, again, had some credentials underneath. Coastal Defense was coming out of a try in the Santa Anita Handicap. It was just a race that was worth paying attention to because some of these horses will maybe try stakes company again. And it is Candyman Rocket getting it done. Number 12 horse there, Artemis City Limit second, Violent City third. But on the comeback, Candyman Rocket, I would think, inserts himself a little bit as a player maybe in the handicap division this year as a newly turned four-year-old, or fairly newly turned four-year-old for Belmont. Hadn't been seen again since May, trying a little stake at Belmont. So off a layoff, comes back. Looked pretty good on the front end yesterday. Getting it done, chart margin, 3.5 lengths at 7-2. So again, Candyman Rocket, interesting to see where they go next with this one. But as I say, showed enough promise early in the three-year-old season, and then that comeback effort to think this horse will play around with some stakes in the handicap division as the year progresses. All right, let's take a look also at some of the action over at Tampa. They had a couple of stakes yesterday as well. In the Endeavor, we are looking at fillies and mares going 8.5 furlongs on the grass. I like Lady Spite Spear. I think this is a really talented runner from Roger Atfield. Lady Spite Spear went off as the 4-5 favorite. Started the career with four straight wins up at Woodbine, then came down to Gulfstream and had just missed in the Tropical Oaks last time. And then the number three horse is Lady Spite Spear. Looked good there for a minute, but boy, look at the closing effort from number two, Bleecker Street. That one gets it done. Lady Spite Spear, again, looked good at taking the lead at, I guess, about the eighth pole, a little inside that maybe, but could not hold off the momentum of Bleecker Street, Stunning Princess, third. 7-1, Bleecker Street, Chad Brown runner. I said, I kicked myself when we were on live yesterday. This is a Chad Brown, Peter Brandt runner, only three starts, three wins so far, including a win in the previous start at Tampa, and gets away at 7-1. And I kicked myself yesterday. It was just, the scenario was there. I'm not saying I would have put the horse on top. I did like Lady Spite Spear quite a bit yesterday, but I should have had Bleecker Street right there in the conversation, certainly off what we saw so far, including the win at Tampa in the last start. And Chad Brown's runners, they have really, really, not just in stakes races, but if you've been watching this week, you've seen that Chad Brown's barn has really picked their spots well on the move over to Tampa with some of their horses. And so just has a great percentage over there. You wound up with that 7-1 price. Just, like I say, kind of kicked myself after that one. Also at Tampa yesterday, we had the Tampa Bay Stakes. This one for four-year-olds and up, going 1/16 on the grass. And Roger Atfield comes up short with Lady Spite Spear in the Endeavor. But in the Tampa Bay Stakes, Roger Atfield gets it done with Cheryl's Spite. Cheryl's Spite, the number four horse here, goes off at 9-1. Gets smoking for Mark Cassie at 5-1. The number seven runs second. Floriform runs third. This one, a couple of Chad runners, Devomani and L'Imperator, don't get it done. They're out of the money. But Roger Atfield makes up for the earlier near miss with a nice win at a nice price of 9-1. You got $21 and change for Cheryl Spite. Relatively lightly raced five-year-old. Came into the race with three wins and seven starts, including a win at Tampa and an optional claimer last time, so it's shown a little bit of an affinity for the track. Won that last with a lifetime best buyer number, so showed a nice affinity for the track. In fact, Emma Jane Wilson in for the ride. So again, Roger Atfield brings a couple over and gets one of the stakes in the mix. So there you go at Tampa and Gulfstream. Down in Florida, nice stakes action yesterday all around, including some of that three-year-old action. And again, we will see Matt Prankster and White Abario where they might end up next. White Abario, Safi Joseph said afterwards, probably will go straight from this one into the Florida Derby. So again, it was a nice performance yesterday from a horse that Safi said, we felt we were a little bit behind the eight ball training-wise, but certainly looked good yesterday. All right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, a little handicapping, maybe just a quick look, give you some ideas, maybe after yesterday, I don't know if I can give good ideas at Tampa. That, as I said, that was a little bit nuts yesterday. But there is a carryover in the late pick five. So maybe we'll just take a quick look at that and kind of toss out some ideas in that late pick five at Tampa today. And then a little bit after that, we will be joined by our friend Bob Ehalt, writer for the Blood Horse. He also writes for America's Best Racing. And he was in New York and covering the New York Stakes. So we'll get some ideas on the Withers and the Toboggan from Bob, plus much, much more. Stay tuned. All of that right after this.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, it was a crazy sequence outside of the first race, which was a little bit predictable. But yesterday at Tampa, it was tough to string them together. And that means a pick five, late pick five carryover today at Tampa. That'll kick off in race number five. So toss out some ideas in that sequence. It starts in the fifth race today. That'll go off. Scheduled to go off at about 2:10, so keep that in mind. Pick five, as they say, has become a popular wager, and when these tracks start with these carryovers, that always attracts extra attention. So I would think they will toss a good amount of money into that pool today. Kicks off again in race five. Bottomish level conditional claimers going a mile and 40. I have it 4-3-2-1 at Tampa in the fifth. Crystal Orb off the claim for a trainer who has really good numbers off the claim and is overall having a good meet. So I'll tilt in that direction. You can't jump into these kind of races with a lot of confidence, though. These, as I say, bottomish 8,000 conditional claimers. But Ginger on My Mind, playable off of the last start, close up second, with a decent number compared to this bunch. Was claimed out of that event, though. This trainer a little bit lighter on the numbers, but does attract Sammy Camacho in the saddle. So there was enough there. Tiz Lottie showed some early speed last time before fading, also off the claim. And another trainer who is very, very good off the claim. So those three, again, all three of them off the claim. Two of them are trainers. They're very good off the claim. Another one attracting one of the top jockeys down there. So for me in the fifth at Tampa, 4-3-2-1. Race number six at Tampa on this Sunday afternoon. Scheduled on the grass for a $16,000 conditional claimers. I have a 2, 8, 5, and 7. Shaldag in the top spot showed a lot of speed last time in an off-the-turf event before fading. The two turf races before that, they were both number-wise good in compared to this field, but then you toss in a little class relief today, and I think that will be the tonic that maybe moves this horse forward. The race three back was very good. Broke the maiden with a nice win at the $25,000 tag. The two subsequent races were for a 25,000 conditional. Now goes to the 16 level in the third start against limited winners. And as I say, number-wise, this horse stacks up. Then you add in the class relief. I'll give that one a slight edge. Second spot, we'll take a look at Commence. This one came back from a long layoff last time and threw in an absolute clunker. But there is some back class here, has never been in for a claiming tag. So this is one you can go either way with. It may just be we don't have the same horse we had earlier in the career where the horse showed a little promise, a little talent, and they may just fire sale sign. But with the race under the belt, now the drop, maybe this horse remembers that back class. Couldn't leave it out of the mix. Does attract Dan Santino back. He was on board last time, and then he sticks was notable. And then Rose for a Saint in the third spot. Tried this level two back and ran a decent third, and then last time was in with a saltier bunch and, you know, ran an okay number but was well beaten in there. I think getting back to this 16 conditional level, though, gets us back closer to what we saw a couple back, and maybe with now the two races under the belt off a little bit of a layoff, we even move forward. So race six at Tampa, 2, 8, 5, and 7. Seventh race in the middle of that nice pick five sequence, which has the big carryover today. At Tampa, I have it 7, 1, 2, and 3 in the seventh, Loud and Proud. Just a horse that's in good form. Came down from the Midwest to kick off the Tampa meet with a decent win at the bottom level of 6,250. Claimed out of that, moved up to this 10,000 level and ran a decent third, but again, this horse just seems in good form, is fighting numbers that match up very well with this bunch, give the horse maybe a little bit of an edge, so I'll put Loud and Proud on top. Second spot, Arrivederla, comes out of a win two back, claimed out of that for this 10 level, then moved into an optional claimer starter allowance, showed a lot of early speed before fading. I don't think that was a bad effort, but I think getting back to this 10 level, we get closer as far as the finishing position to what we saw two back, and I think that's going to be, you know, the class move going to be very beneficial for Arrivederla. And then in the third spot, Prepare for Glory, who claimed two back for 6,250, claimed three back for 6,250, so a little bit popular at the claim box over the past few starts. Last time, also bumped up to that optional claimer starter allowance level that was a little too salty for that one. But I think getting back into a claiming race, and I think, you know, the last time this horse was seen for a tag was seen for lesser. But I think given the field today, I think this horse is an okay fit with this particular bunch. So in the seventh at Tampa, 7, 1, 2, and 3. In the eighth race at Tampa, they're on the grass for conditional claimers. I have it 8, 4, 5, and 3. Fly the W on top. Comes over from Gulfstream for Tommy Proctor, so I certainly like the venue move. Was beaten last time in a synthetic surface race when dropped in for a tag. Now takes a further drop down the claiming level and also makes the venue move over to Tampa. And this horse last year tossed in some decent efforts number-wise at Tampa. So I think this horse is a nice fit on the return to Tampa this afternoon. Fly the W on top. Montauk Summer goes out for Mike Deeney, owner-trainer Mike Deeney. And I always pay attention to the Deeney horses down there, although limited number of wins, but his horses have been hitting the board quite a bit down there. So at 9-5, this one was beaten last time off a little bit of a layoff. Hadn't been seen since the summer at Belmont. Well, actually, I take that back, the first day of fall at Belmont, late September. But a little bit of a layoff, came back, threw in a clunker as the beaten favorite. I'm going to give this horse another look. I think this horse is better than we saw last time. And Spiritual King didn't show speed last time, but typically does show speed. I'm going to hope that's the game plan again today. Gallardo on board, and the 2, 3, 4 starts back when he was on board Spiritual King, the horse did fire and say, catch me if you can. I think that'll be the game plan again today with Antonio Gallardo jumping back on board. And given the complexion of this field, that speed might be awfully dangerous in here. In the eighth at Tampa, 8-4, 5-3. And we wind up that late pick five sequence today with a maiden claimer at a mile on the grass, 11-9, 4-5. If the 11 gets in, and I had too early, I haven't seen scratches yet, but the 11 is the first horse on the AE list, so wouldn't be a shock to get this one in. But I thought there's a little bit of breeding there. Trainer not known to have him ready to fire first time out, but boy, the workouts are pretty good. And of those that have raced, there are no world beaters in here. So, again, I think dial him up. The number 11 has the potential to maybe find a soft field to get a debut victory. So if that one makes it in, the 11 on top, Sir Saffir in the second spot. Bounced over to the turf last time and showed an improved effort number-wise. Was right in the hunt until late and faded. I'm going to look for that to add a little fitness and for the horse to have a little more heart today. And then Bramble Beach in the third spot. Again, Mike Deeney with a horse that just, I think, of those that have run, they're pretty evenly matched. But this one's been kind of consistent and throwing consistent numbers, and they've been moving in the right direction. So at a 10-1 morning line, I thought that horse was a little bit interesting as well. It's a tough race to end the pick five sequence, I think. But for me in the ninth at Tampa, 11-9, 4-5. And again, at Tampa today, it is a $92,000 carryover in the late pick five. And as I said, it'll go off a little after 2 o'clock, starting with race number five. So keep all that in mind if you're a pick five player. If you're not a pick five player, maybe today's the day to become a pick five player. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by our friend Bobby Hult from the Blood Horse. We'll talk some New York racing. We'll maybe get a preview of the Bob Lewis out at Santa Anita today. Maybe some thoughts from last week's Pegasus card. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Baba. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, our friend Bobby Hult, writer for the Blood Horse. Also, you can find his work on America's Best Racing. Bob, good morning.
Hey, Seth. How are you today?
Very good. Happy to have you on board. I got a number of topics to cover. When I got in touch with you, I said we'll do a little New York racing from yesterday because a step along the Derby trail, perhaps, and maybe preview because you wrote about the New York races for the Blood Horse, previewed the Bob Lewis for ABR, America's Best Racing, but I also saw on the Blood Horse you covered some of the Pegasus races last week, so I thought we'd get some thoughts there. So you're all over the place. Got to love it.
Yeah, no, it's enjoyable. I mean, it was nice to get down to Florida, though I got to say it did feel a little bit like in November, Pegasus Day. I mean, it was pretty darn cold and windy, got a little warmer as the day went on, but still, it was chilly for Florida. And, you know, the big news, of course, down there when that happens is that the iguanas are falling out of the trees. So that was kind of the prominent theme of the weekend there.
I saw that. I did not know that, but I did see that on the news. And we talked to, obviously, a number of people last week from Florida, and everybody was kind of a little dicey on the weather. We're scheduled to head down for the Florida Derby. I'm trusting that by, you know, late March, early April, things will warm up, because that's I look forward to the trip so I can get down and get some sun. But as you were saying, a little cool. And a little cool yesterday, obviously, at Aqueduct, and they've had some weather over the past, boy, week, 10 days or so. And that continued over the past few days down at Aqueduct. But we did take a step along the Derby Trail. We're going to take a look at the weathers in just a second. But I will say, and I mentioned it earlier, I was watching the pregame from Aqueduct yesterday, and Andy was talking about the three-year-old races so far this year, and he was saying, you know, not going to take a big buyer to win some of these races this year, as the three-year-olds so far have not stepped up necessarily. And I had Jeremy Plonk on with me yesterday, and he does the countdown to the crown package, and he said he was kind of unimpressed with the three-year-olds so far this year, so far what we've seen, you know, January and some of the three-year-old races. But we'll take a look now at the withers yesterday, and early voting may change that. He looked pretty good yesterday. I did not see a number, a buyer figure, but this was a pretty nice performance. Second-time starter from Chad Brown and Klarovich. We're watching the stretch run here. The chart margin winds up to be 4.5 as Un Ojo runs second, Gilded Age runs third. But at 6-5, the Chad Klarovich runner, two starts, two wins, nice move out of Maiden Company into a victory and a graded stake yesterday at Aqueduct. What were your thoughts on the withers?
I thought that was a really good performance by early voting. I mean, he took charge of the race early. I mean, I kind of wrote, we were told Jose Ortiz had to hop a flight back to Florida, so we were going to probably be running out right after the race. Well, he rode the race like I thought he was trying to get to the airport, because he started out to the lead, stood around the track, and, you know, in the stretch, he pulled away. I will say, I think yesterday, if you look at the races, most part, there wasn't a lot of horses winning with stretch moves. I mean, I think that helped things to a degree, but it didn't really look like anybody was seriously making any move. But good. The final time, if you look at it in and of itself, it was a slow time. It wasn't the fastest. It wasn't a very fast track. It'll be interesting to see the numbers he does get, because he had a pretty good number in his maiden race on some of the speed figure services. About really pretty good. If he ran something close to that, he's going to be an interesting candidate. Has that, which is always important. You know, people kind of think you win a race like the Derby with last. Well, no. Sometimes, you know, sub-speed. Chad Brown believes this horse does not have to be on the lead when he works him in the morning. He sometimes has a target he chases. I think this is going to be an interesting horse. Stay in New York. Chad didn't commit yet to how he's going to go. The two options are you go to the Gotham. I don't think he's a big fan of, you know, if you're going to go to the Derby, cutting back to the mile. You know, sometimes you might do that if you want to go to the Preakness. I think given, like you say, going, you know, with the Baffert horses at limbo, really it's kind of a wide open picture. So I would think this horse is probably going to be held for the Wood Memorial, which would be a mile and an eighth again, the same distance, and then certainly on to the Derby if all goes well there. But, yeah, I think he's certainly a horse you would want to watch. And if you were able to bet him in Vegas or something a while ago, you're probably feeling pretty good on the future price that you got on him.
Yeah, 2-for-2 now, and gets it done for Chad with Jose Ortiz on board, making again a quick return to New York, which he decided about 2 weeks ago was a little too cold for him this winter. And then, man, did he make a splash down in Florida after he arrived down there. But gets a nice stakes victory on the return to New York. Also wanted some thoughts on the toboggan. I did not see this. Toboggan yesterday, it was drafted getting it done. The number three horse at 6-1. Repo Rocks at 11-1 runs second. Happy Medium goes off at 1-5 and looked legitimately 1-5 and winds up a disappointing third in here. And like I said, I didn't quite see drafted. I think one of the post-race articles I read it had been 35 months since his last win. He was certainly early on in the career. He had shown a lot of talent. He had, $750,000 in the bank. So a nice horse, but an eight-year-old that really hadn't gotten it done in a while. And I think the trainer in the post-race comments was kind of remarking, I was thinking second at best behind Happy Medium. But we're watching the stretch run here. Chart margin is 4.5. Drafted looked pretty good. The old boy got it going again yesterday in the toboggan.
I mean, that was the surprise. I mean, because especially the way the track was playing, it looked pretty good for Happy Medium. You know, I mean, he was stepping up out of allowance, and sometimes there could be some problems there. You know, it was very surprising where, you know, drafted, who, you know, at one point in his career was owned by Godolphin.
Yeah.
So, you know, they bought him for a short period of time, but it shows the kind of promise he had. But, you know, to make the move he did on the turn to get to the lead, and, you know, as you say, I believe it was, I believe he got to go back to 2019, find when this horse won previously. He really made a strong move on the turn, and, you know, once he got into the stretch, it seemed that the races were over on Saturday. And, you know, Happy Medium really backed up. I mean, he was beaten pretty good for second by Repo Rock, that it was, it was surprising. I mean, I think, you know, and I will say, I was fortunate enough. I kind of figured it looked like Happy Medium was the one to win, and then after that, really, I thought anybody could finish second in the race. And kind of, I was fortunate enough to be alive in the pick three and wheel it, so I was kind of happy with how the results came out from a betting standpoint. Yeah, I really would not have wanted to put a lot of win money on drafted, but he certainly looked good, and we'll see. Where this takes him. I mean, you know, could he be an effective sprinter again? You know, I don't know. We'll see. When you win off that, when it's long between races, hard to believe you're going to start putting together two or three wins, but we'll see.
We should also note Jose Ortiz on board there as well. So a lucrative return to New York, brief return to New York for Jose Ortiz yesterday with the stakes action. As I said, if folks go to America's Best Racing, they can find a little preview of the Bob Lewis. That's the three-year-old action for this weekend out at Santa Anita. That'll go off this afternoon. Well, our time, it'll go off just a little after 7 o'clock. Grade 3, Bob Lewis, 8.5 furlongs. Field of five scheduled. We're going to pull up the Los Al Futurity from the middle of December. Slow Down Andy, the number five horse, will be the winner. Messier, the number three, at 1-2, runs second in here for Bob Baffert. But I was reading your analysis, and I had Jeremy Plonk on yesterday, and he was kind of tilting towards Messier to rebound, and it sounds like you're looking for a rebound from Messier this afternoon as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was second. You know, he was 1-2, so he was supposed to win the Los Al Futurity. Down Andy did get by him. It was a long way back, of course. I would think from the rail, he's going to go out, and, you know, I think he's going to be tough to catch in this small of a field. I think, you know, look, it is, I mean, here's the thing. Baffert's horses can't run in the Kentucky Derby. They can run in these other races, and generally he's still Bob Baffert with these horses. I mean, you know, you'd have to respect Messier. He also has a second one who is a maiden winner in Wharton, particularly for the same group of people. Interesting jockey things, I think, in this race, because Messier, Flavian Pratt have been riding him. Pratt is going to Sir London, a horse trained by Simon Callahan. So Johnny B is going on to Messier. And Wharton at Johnny B is picking up Juan Hernandez. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, I like, you know, Messier looks like he's going to be the winner. He should be able to win the race. But the other one, Sir London, who just mentioned, who Pat is sticking with, he might be one to – he's kind of the one to watch because he can go to the Derby. He broke his maiden by 10 at Los Alamitos. He was a 30-cent favorite, so, you know, I'm not sure exactly the quality of the horses that he beat. But I think in terms of, especially if you're going to look at the Kentucky Derby, he's the one who's eligible. It'll be interesting to see, say, if he could spring, if he could beat a Messier. He does seem to have some speed. He doesn't need to be on the lead, so he'll probably be tracking in second and see where it goes. As I say, if you're going to look long, if you're going to look long range, I think Sir London would be the horse that, you know, if somebody have an impact on the Derby and the Derby Triple Crown Trail, he might be the one to see what exactly he turns out to be.
Yeah, and you mentioned John Velasquez, and I'll just toss in, I have said for years, boy, it is tough. It has traditionally been tough for East Coast jockeys to go west and be successful. The most notable of those for me was Angel Cordero, who tried it and eventually came back east. But John Velasquez, and I think a lot of it is tied into his fairly new relationship with Bob Baffert, but he's shooting at 25% out at Santa Anita.
Yeah, I mean, see, Johnny, I think, was a good choice to do it because Johnny, you know, look, he's a Hall of Fame jockey. There's no doubt about his ability. Johnny's at a stage in a career where he's not looking to ride seven horses a day, you know. Yeah. So he's able to kind of focus on the high-end, top-notch people. He's not, you know, I'm sure Johnny's not looking around to get on a $10,000 claimer all that often, stay active. So, you know, he's kind of at that stage with, like, Mike Smith, where, you know, Mike Smith, again, is, you know, getting a little bit choosy about where he's going on to his horses. So Johnny, I think, has been able to kind of work in with some of the better barns in California. And as I say, he's winning at a real good rate, which is getting you business, and that's the greatest selling point that you have. But as I say, I just think he's also in a position where he's not looking for as many mouths as some of these other riders might want to, and he's just getting good enough mouths.
Yeah, that's a great point. He can be particular, and he's particular on the high end, and he's getting good runners on the high end, but it's been fun to watch him. And speaking of jockeys, I'll get your thoughts since you're kind of based down there in New York and write a lot about it for the Blood Horse. And speaking of Angel Cordero, who is the mentor and agent, this Apprentice Gomez is making a little noise there. You know, you don't think of New York, a 10-pound apprentice making noise. And a couple of them, Ailsa, I think, is her first name, Morrison. She has made a little bit of a noise as a 10, and, you know, as Gomez has moved on to be 7 pounds. But you don't think of those kind of jockeys really starting out and making noise in New York. Maybe it's a little more believable in the wintertime, but this Gomez is going to be one to watch, as I say, with Angel Cordero as his mentor.
I mean, yeah, he's been riding pretty well, and certainly the weight off is attractive. You know, let's be frank, especially with Jose deciding to go to the warmer climb, that opens up opportunity. And, you know, you're seeing Rocky's winning races and being competitive, who admittedly you're not going to see when you're live on the set at Saratoga. You know, this is a little bit of a proving ground for horses. It's going to be tough for them. Proving ground for the jockeys. It's going to be tough for them. Big trainers come back and they're used, and also, yeah, you know, the big guys come back. Johnny V, the Ortiz brothers, they all start coming back. So it is kind of cool to see some of this young talent and get a chance. And I thought it was interesting the other day, I think it was Friday, the trifecta in one of the races was three female jockeys.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I think it was Friday's last race, and there were three female jockeys who...
Was Carol Cedeno in to ride there?
Yeah, Carol Cedeno won the race, and so two other females right behind. And so, you know, that's something you just don't see every day in New York, by any means. So, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, from a handicapping standpoint, But yeah, you do have to really pay attention to this because there's a lot of riders who aren't getting a lot of opportunity. Frank, it's understandable why. Others are just are good riders. They just don't get the opportunity. So, you do have to really pay attention to the trips and kind of draw your own conclusions as to how reliable you feel about the riders.
Yeah, as you kind of alluded to, it's going to be fun to watch as the spring comes what this Gomez does, being tied in with Angel Cordero. And will he still be there and knocking around the jockey colony when Saratoga rolls around? If so, he'll be fun to watch up there because, again, I think you're right. I think trainers, if you have a hot jockey, a hot apprentice, they'll take that 5 or 7 pounds and get a little bit of an edge if they can. So it'll be fun to watch. Just before we let you go, Bob, as I said, you were down at Gulfstream last week. I wanted some of your thoughts. I've been talking to everybody I've had on over the last week or so about Pegasus World Cup Day. I thought Regal Glory outclassed her field, but off the start she had, that was visually impressive to see the win by Regal Glory. Colonel Liam off the layoff, it was a great day for Todd Pletcher, and that was part of it. And Life is Good, I said, I had Mike Welch on last Sunday, and I said the air came out of the balloon a little bit going into the first turn because we wanted that duel all the way around the track. That's what we've been waiting for since the Breeders' Cup. That didn't happen, but with a 110 buyer, it was still a pretty nice performance from Life is Good. What were your thoughts on last weekend?
Look, Life is Good. I mean, look, he's the favorite right now for Horse of the Year. No, there's a lot of buzz about Flightline, but Flightline still has a lot to prove. And I tell you, he's proved in the Pegasus. He's the horse to beat this year. He certainly took over the baton, leadership from Nick Sko. This is a dynamic horse. This is going to be a horse that's going to be fun to watch throughout the year. Being said, I will say, like everyone else, I was surprised at how the race developed because in talking Grant Cox, even to his son, kind of informally, the feeling there was, this is the last race for Nick going out for the lead. And Life is Good, wants to run with us, power to him, but we'll see who's better. So, and it just seemed like Joel was not all that aggressive about going to the front. He had the rail. I think that was my feeling. I think that was the feeling the connections had, that he was going to be hell-bent on the lead. Maybe, Life is Good has a whole year in front of him, as Nick Sko is going to the breeding shed. We don't want to go 44 half mile. He might be able to do some form of sedation on the others of, do you really want to get in a duel with me? Never developed, and if anybody, it was Life is Good, kind of down the mantle and said, hey, I'm out here, come out with me. And, Rosario didn't. Certainly when you're on the backstretch and you're four lengths or so ahead, with a race reduced to a 4-furlong sprint, not going to make up 4 lengths on a horse like Life is Good. It's just not going to happen. So, midway on the backstretch, you knew the race was over. That was the part that was surprising. So, Life is Good, I would think, it's more than likely he's going to be in the Dubai World Cup. Then we'll see where he goes. Right now, if I was a Toga fan, I would kind of make sure I'm going to be around for Whitney Day because I would think that would have to be time on his jewel. And, if Flightline turns out to be the real deal, that could be a heck of a place for those two horses to beat. But they're not going to beat the Met Mile. I just can't see that happening. I just envision that if Life is Good goes to Dubai, it's going to come turn back to go a mile in the Met Mile and beat Fly there. I would think Whitney it could be one heck of a horse race, Flightline, and Life is Good in the picture. Not saying that's definitely going to happen. A lot of things have to happen and to fall together. But, I would definitely, as a Saratoga race fan, not that not. But, yeah, I would definitely this year circle the Whitney on my calendar because I think that has the potential to be a really, really special race.
We can only hope. There have been a lot of races speculated as maybe being a matchup between these two. And as I say, we'll knock wood, we'll cross our fingers. And we got the two, we got, you know, we knocked wood and crossed our fingers since the Breeders' Cup, hoping Nick's Go and Life is Good would match up. It didn't quite turn out the matchup we were, you know, the knockout duel we were looking for. But again, it was a pretty good performance from Life is Good. But we'll keep our fingers crossed for Flightline versus Life is Good at some point over the next 6-8 months or so. Bob, as always, appreciate. Oh, before I let you go, I'm just curious, always curious, particularly these days, and given the print media and whatnot, but also the pandemic and the situation there, I'm just wondering what the press coverage was like last week for Pegasus Day.
It seemed a little bit less than what we had seen in the past, but it was, I think it was similar to some of the years. They did, instead of putting us all in, they have a trainer's room, they kind of turned into a media room because there's no press box at Gulfstream Park. There's no real press box. What they do is for the big races, they kind of move the trainers out for a day and they kind of turn the trainer's room into a media room. I used the secondary room upstairs to put other ends of the media. It was kind of hard to judge how many. It was kind of similar. In Florida, we really didn't have a lot of restrictions. We did have to get, did provide us with a COVID test. They made us take a COVID test, rapid COVID test on the grounds before they would issue press credentials. But for the most part, you know, I think it was very much the similar pieces I've seen. Unfortunately, you know, what we say about the media these days, there wasn't a lot of newspaper coverage. Yeah. It's mostly online and the industry publications. But, you know, that's becoming kind of a thing of the past. I mean, Saratoga is really one of the relics where there's actually newspapers in that region, like, you know, the Albany Times Union, you know, the
Gazette,
the other, some of the other surrounding newspapers too, the Saratogian and such, that are up there. Just don't see that anymore in a lot of tracks. I think it was similar to what it had been. The only one I missed was last year's because of the pandemic. It seemed like it was a pretty good representation.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear, as you say. The newspaper, and I'll ask you, I brought it up a couple of days ago, I forget in what context now, but do you remember the book, Ray Harrison wrote about it in the Post, and I picked one up, this is years and years ago, The Dot System, and what it was based on, and I brought it up, and it ties into this conversation, you would put a dot next to any horse that got a mention by a handicapper, but it worked then. It doesn't work anymore because it used to be you could pick up the two tabloids, the Post and the Daily News, and you'd have 8 or 9 handicappers to use. And those days are long gone.
No, I remember when you said it, it sort of was going through my mind. I heard of it. You said the dot next to the handicapper selection. Yes. I remember somebody had that. I think I may have tinkered with that in my youth as a handicapper a little bit. And, you know, it kind of, you know, I don't know. I didn't find it as a great resource because it was generally out to the favorite. And it's like, well, geez, I went all through this to find out the horse is 6-5. That's who I should bet.
It did.
You know.
And I think the theory was maybe every once in a while would uncover one that was a little bit of a. And also, and that's why I brought it up the other day, they had the no dot. Which surprisingly, you would think there would be 3 or 4 horses that nobody would pick. But if you have that wider range of handicappers, almost everybody got at least one dot. But every once in a while, there'd be a no dot. And they said, watch the no dot, because that horse is entered for some reason. That's why I brought it up the other day, because I was handicapping a track. And I said, I kind of like this horse this afternoon. I said, with the dot system, this would be a no dot horse.
Well, that part I do remember through that because it had different machinations of how you do it. But you know, again, you used to go back and you know, like you say, in Newsday every day, you would get like three or four guys. You'd have John Preachy, you'd have Paul Moran, you'd have Mark Berner. You know, you'd have a whole bunch just in Newsday. Then the Daily News would have Russ Harris or Bill Findlay. The Post would have Kerrison and you know, John Peason. So you had so many. And now there's, you know, I think the New York Post has a guy doing it. I don't even see him at the racetrack, you know. Same thing. I don't know. I'm not even sure what the Daily News does anymore. You just don't see the papers as often as you used to. But, yeah, it's a changing. You couldn't do it anymore because, especially in New York, you know, Saturday, you know, with Greg and I, who were out there covering the races on Saturday, well, this Saturday, Matt Schiffman was out there for Horse Racing Nation. But that's it. There was three. Outnumbered as usual by the photographers. There were a lot more photographers that come in for cover of the race, the riders. So it's a whole different world.
Yeah, it is absolutely a different world. And I got reminded of that when I brought up that system. Because, yeah, there used to be the grid there, the box and the, both of the tabloids. And as you say, Newsday, we didn't get Newsday as often up here. But, yeah, a lot of those familiar names, yeah, it is a different time. But the Internet provides some new things. We all have to grow and move, and we're all trying to do it. And that allows people also to follow you regularly. Again, check out bloodhorse.com, and Bob's work is there over at America's Best Racing, the website there as well. And, Bob, as always, appreciate the visit and the conversation, and we will talk again in the future.
Thanks, Seth. Always a pleasure being with you.
Bob Ehalt. Again, you can find his work at The Blood Horse or at America's Best Racing. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Don't forget, this afternoon, there is the $92,000 Pick 5 carryover, late Pick 5 at Tampa. Keep that in mind. That should be fun this afternoon. We'll look at that and some other action in about an hour when we kick off for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. That should be fun, but we appreciate your tuning in this morning. Thanks to Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. We appreciate their support during the championship meet. Speaking of Gulfstream, I'm looking up at my monitor there, and Ron and Brian are underway with the pregame show, so we'll shift our attention and get some ideas for Gulfstream this afternoon. A little bit later on, we'll have the pregame, obviously, at NYRA, and then OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.